So today we're going to be discussing the halachic outlook on abortion, where the Torah stands on abortion. Just a very quick recap. We spoke about this last week at length. We're really going to pick it up from a new topic this week. We know that the Gemara says explicitly that if a non-Jew performs an abortion, he's chayiv misa. It's one of the seven mitzvos b'nei noyach. But to the best of our knowledge, there is no Gemara anywhere that explicitly says that it's prohibited for a Jew to perform an abortion. That pasuk was only by seven mitzvos b'nei noyach. However, the Gemara has a phrase that anything a guy can't do, there's no way we can do it. That's a phrase in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Lekamidi, there's no such thing. Lekamidom, there's no such thing that Yisrael's mutter and a guy can't do it. So that leads us to believe that abortions are prohibited. But the million-dollar question that we need to deal with today, and this is really where it gets interesting, so to say, is what type of prohibition is that? Is that a din d'oraisa? Does that mean mid-d'oraisa abortions are prohibited for a yid? Or no, it's a svar d'rabbanan. Mid-d'rabbanan, it can't be that a Jew can do something that a guy can't do. What's the nafkamina? Because if abortions are an issa deraisa, then there's no way you can ever permit it. It's an issa deraisa. How can you permit an issa deraisa unless the mother's life is in danger? However, and this is the big argument that will hopefully develop this evening, if the whole prohibition of abortions are merely a derabbanon, so when you have derabbanons that perhaps litzairich, if there's a reason, if there's a convincing argument, you can push aside a derabbanon. So the million-dollar question that we need to get to is, where did the Rishonim stand? Where did the early Achrayim, early Paiskim, where did they stand on the issue of abortion? So we'll start off like this. There's a Taisvis in Sanhedrin, source number one. Says Taisvis, B'davishu mitzvah l'Yisrael lo'yem rinan hachi. Taisvis is bothered with a kash. The Gemara Sanhedrin has a phrase. There's nothing that a goy can't do that a Jew can do. Says Taisvis, that's not true. What about something which is a mitzvah? Which we don't say that, because why a goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos? And Yisrael has to keep Shabbos. So you see, it doesn't go that way. So Taisvis says, no, that's mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are different. Then Taisvis asks the question, third line into Taisvis. V'ala ubrim do'ayvi kachav m'chayiv v'Yisrael potter. Frank Taisvis, what are you talking about? You told me the Gemara says on Hedron doesn't rule anything a guy can't do. A Jew also can't do. It's not true when it comes to the murdering of a fetus. Says Taisvis, Avagav the potter, Mikol Mokum Loishari. Very important, Taisvis. Says Taisvis, no. The difference between a guy and a Jew is the penalty, the punishment for a Jew who performs an abortion, no Misa. But for a non-Jew who performs an abortion, Misa. But Shari? No, Mikol Mokum Loishari. It's not permissible. There's no heter for a Jew to perform an abortion. It's just that if a Jew performs an abortion, he doesn't get Misa B'day Adam. Mashenki, and a guy who does get Misa. So what does Taisvis tell us explicitly? That it's awesome. That it's definitely awesome for a Jew to perform an abortion. The question is, what type of issur is it? Taisvis is not clear. But we definitely see without a question that it's awesome. You can't just have an elective abortion for the sake of having an abortion, even if you hire a Jewish doctor. To hire a non-Jew, for sure, a problem. Even a Jewish doctor, according to Taisvis, is awesome.
But it's not undercarriage.
So that's what we need to get to some point tonight, and this is really the big machlokes contemporary paiskim. What issur is it? So Taisvis just says it's usur. So you could have learned Taisvis. That's an issur d'rabbanan. For example, the Chavos Yoyer, who lived in the end of the 1600s, has a comment like, we just can't have this. It's like morally incorrect. Rabbanan had to say, you just can't perform abortions. It's not healthy for the survival of the Jewish nation if we can just go around aborting our children. But that's not an issur d'oraisa. Now, if I could put something up against that, and what we're going to discuss this evening is the cases in the Poskim that's for sure mutter, the case in the Poskim that it's questionable, and those that everyone agrees is probably not allowed. There's three different areas. We're going to try to develop it. So one of the examples, which we'll discuss hopefully later this evening, was very popular 60s was the Shiloh of Tay-Sachs babies. Today we don't have that, Baruch Hashem, because most of us test for it before, so we don't really run into these problems. But was at one point a very heated debate between Moshe Feinstein and Tzitzi Lezer, Lezer Waldenberg, was what happens if a lady finds out that she Nabuch is carrying a baby with Tay-Sachs. Tay-Sachs babies do not survive. They don't live past 4 years old. And it's what's even sadder about it is they start at regular and healthy, and then as time things just start to go bad, they lose their vision, and then things just and never they don't survive. It's not even like a question. So the question is that enough to justify an abortion? Because why am I going to give birth to a baby, carry it for 9 months, have to deal with all the agmas nefesh of pregnancy and delivery for what? Just after Rachman Litzlan, have to bury a baby? It's heart wrenching. So if you hold it's an issa deraisa, so we say, I'm sorry, it's an issa deraisa. But if it's an issa derabbanan, you can say to yourself, okay, maybe b'chei ha'gavna, in this case, the rabbanan didn't put in the prohibition. That's really the point of debate. But this taisvus is clear. Without a question, abortion is asr. The Sri Deyesh has a comment in his one of his tshuvas. He says, it's asr, we don't know why it's asr. But it's asr. Don't try to get, you know, overwhelmed this with me and say, well, maybe it's not really asr. This is one again, Eretz Yisrael. All the doctors are Jewish. Here in America, you cannot, and we'll see later, Achrayim discuss, even when a person is allowed to have an abortion, a justified abortion, they still should not go to a non-Jew. They should not go to a non-Jew, because it's lefnei iver. Kohen are not allowed to perform abortions. Jews have a terim, perhaps. But if you're going to Nebuch need an abortion, you should try to find a non-Jew, a Jewish doctor. Because a non-Jewish doctor is lefnei iver on something which carries a penalty of chiv mis.
But the very fact that we're having this poskim discuss this means that none of the poskim call it murder.
That's correct, because the Torah doesn't call it murder. We proved that last week from the fact that in Parashat Mishpatim, the Torah says if you hit a pregnant lady and the baby dies, all you do is pay money. That's the Torah's way of relaying to us that it's not considered murder. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a comment which we'll have to deal with, but simply speaking, no one disputes this. Killing of a fetus is not considered death with the penalty of death. Doesn't mean it's not Ritzich. That's another big point of argument between Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Tzitz Eliezer's camp of thought, which Melina that we will develop. But what I want for today is just to see this Taisus. This is one of the earliest sources in the Rishonim that one is prohibited to perform an abortion even if you're Jewish. We don't know why it's prohibited, but we know it's prohibited. But then there's another Taisus. There's a Taisus in Nida. Again, we mentioned this last week, we'll just chaz very quickly. There's the famous opinion from the Chavis Yoyer. It's Kedai, we'll talk more about the Chavis Yoyer this evening. You should just know the Chavis Yoyer lived at the end of the 1600s, he died in, I believe, 1690, he wrote it down, he died in 1702, Mamash, he lived in the bulk of the 1600s, he wrote a, his name was, the Chavis Yoyer's name was Rabbi Yoyer Bacharach. It's a popular name today, I know some people with that last name. He named the sefer Chavis Yoyer after his grandmother. His grandmother's name was Chava. It's a very nice thing to do. He wrote a sefer, named it after his grandmother. His grandmother was, I think, a granddaughter of the Maharal. So he named it after his grandmother. So he wrote a sefer. They say he was a genius in not only in Torah. They say he knew science and he knew music and he knew history. He was a well-rounded individual, the Chavis Yoyer. He wrote another sefer, which we've quoted often, Mikar Chaim. It's Halacha on Orach Chaim. But after he wrote a sefer, he kind of took it back because he saw that the Magen Avraham and the Taz wrote Svarim that were just as good, and he felt there's no need for my sefer. But every once in a while, we come across a Geshmak and Mekar Chaim from the Chavis Yoyer. He's one of the people, he's the minig that we stand around the nearest Chanukah. Why do you stand around the Neiris Chanukah after you light the Neiris and sing on Neiris Lol? It comes from the Chavis Yoyer. He was one of the earliest people to write it in his Sefer Mekar Chaim. He writes, he should stand around the Menorah for about a half an hour singing Shir's with Hishbachas HaKadosh Baruch. Comes from him. And he died. And he lived in the 1600s. We're talking about 400 years ago. He brings down such a minute. So the Chavis Yoyer says, the reason why abortion is aser, it's Haitzah Zera Levatol. Because now that you're going to kill the fetus, Huvra Adavah L'Mafreya, that the sperm that was used to impregnate this woman went to waste. Most Achorim disagree with that premise. They say that's not a Tzarzei L'Vatala, that was used in the normal way. Just like if a man lives with a woman that's not able to conceive a baby. That's not a Tzarzei L'Vatala. The Gemara asks in Yevamos, how can you live with your wife when she's pregnant? That Zerah is not going anywhere. The Gemara has a comment, it's Derech Bia. That's not Zerah. Zerah L'Vatala means when you take the Zerah and you throw it on the floor. You didn't do that, you used it the normal way to be with a woman. So the Chavis Yoyer's opinion is widely unaccepted, but that's his pshat. This other creative pshat that we mentioned the last week, what would possibly make abortion usher? But what I want to get to tonight is, does everyone agree that it's usher? There's a taisvus in Nida, number two. Very, very controversial taisvus. And this is really the starting point of the machloikis in contemporary achreinim, how far or at what level can we perform an abortion? Taisvus makes the following comment like this. Says taisvus. This is a taisvus in Nida. Vim toimar. Im tim tzoloima demutu lahorgoi bebeten. Frank Tyson, if you hold it's permissible to kill a fetus in the mother's stomach, afilu meisa ima, even if mom dies, v'lo yahave kemurich b'kuf, so you don't look at the baby like it's sitting in a basket, amai mechan Allah v'sa Shabbos, why are you allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save a fetus, shemevin tzakin derchushas rabim l'krayim, you're allowed to bring a knife to cut open the mother's stomach to save the baby. Why should you violate the Shabbos to save a baby that's life we don't value? Harai says Taisus, it's mutal hargoy. You're allowed to kill it. So Taisus has a kasha. If you're allowed to kill a fetus, so why should you be mechal Shabbos to save the fetus? Now what Taisus is assuming in his kasha? It's mutter. It doesn't say it's putter. It says it's mutter. V'yishlam, what does Taisus answer? No. You're right. you're still allowed to violate the Shabbos to save a fetus. Afogav the mutal lahargo, even though you're allowed to kill it. So if you take this Tosfos at face value, Tosfos seems to be saying that it's permissible to abort a fetus. So A, huh?
For any reason.
For any reason. So A, it's a steer into Tosfos. Tosfos in Sanhedrin calls it pater avoloi mutter, and here Tosfos calls it mutter. Secondly, how are we to understand this? But we have a Tosfos. There's a Tosfos in Nida, Mefurish. Tosfos in Nida says that killing a fetus is mut. Frech to Yaakov Emden in number 3. Ain't a meduyik. Says that Rabbi Yaakov Emden, there's something wrong with this Tosfos. The man who deshari lahargis oba, b'li tam. Who permits killing a fetus for no reason? Keep this Rabbi Yaakov Emden in mind, because hopefully at some point tonight, we will see a tshuva that Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote about a very open-minded opinion to abortion. Because he wrote, b'li shum tam. Rabbi Yaakov Emden is going to justify a tam. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, without a reason, no one permits it. Avagav the inner narigal, even though you don't get killed from it. So says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, how do you make heads or tails of this Tosfos? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden leaves off with a kasha. That Tosfos is difficult to understand, because who can say it's mutter? Okay, but we have a Tosfos. Says it sits Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg. He was one of the earliest Gedolei Achorim who dealt with abortion. Do you know why he dealt with abortion? For a fascinating reason. Rabbi Dr. Avram Steinberg said this in a shiur. Listen to him. Fascinating story. Rabbi Tzitz Eliezer lived across the street from Shaarei Tzedek, the old hospital. And he used to daven in the shul there. And people started to get wind of him, that he's a knowledgeable fellow. And all the doctors that used to daven in Shaarei Tzedek used to ask him kashas. So they'd come to him in the morning, they'd ask him a kasha. So he'd either answer it on the spot, or if he didn't know, he'd research it and come back by mincha time with an answer. So the first child that came up in Shaarei Tzedek was a woman that was born with, that was pregnant with a Tay-Sachs baby. Rabbi Dr. Starnberg tells the story, he was there. He says the woman was about in her 5th month, which is pretty far off. 5th month, and she wanted to abort the baby because she found out it was a Tay-Sachs baby. The doctors didn't know what to do, and at that time in history, there wasn't much written about refuah and halacha. It's unbelievable. There are so many terrific svarim about refuah and halacha. It's amazing. Doctors and rabbis and doctors. It's a great world. It wasn't like that in the 1960s. So they asked the Tzitz Eliezer. He came back to them by mincha time with pages and pages where he permitted it. And just to think how his mind works. You know, for the rest of us, we'd sweat that for weeks and end. We'd go to the mikveh, we'd fast, we'd give tzedakah, you know. He wrote a tshuva like he wrote a tshuva. And that's where he wrote his tshuva. So he was one of the earliest to discuss abortion, because the shaila came to his direction, because the doctors were asking him a lot of shailas. So this is one of the tshuvas. We're going to quote many different tshuvas that scattered throughout his 24-volume sefer, Tzitz Eliezer. Again, Tzitz Eliezer is known for some very mechudash shitas. Tzitz Eliezer died in 2006, not so long ago. So he lived through most of the modern day science. He was known for some novel opinions, some more accepted, some less accepted. For example, he was one of the first person to write in writing that smoking is usher. So that a lot of people like to adapt. He has a mechudishic opinion about transgender. He thinks it's whatever you have is what you have, whatever presents. So if you remove things, whatever you have now is what you have. He had an opinion about IVF that's not widely accepted. He thought that doesn't count. So he's one of the four, the more open-minded thinkers, but not always everything is niskap. In this topic, him and Rav Moshe really went to war against each other. A mechamta shel Torah, of course, but they really went to battle on the shaila of abortion. And it's negei ad hayom hazeh, because not only did Tzitz Eliezer permit abortion up till the 7th month for Tay-Sachs, he permits abortion up for Down syndrome or other forms of mental issues that babies can have. And there are rabbanim today that will tell people you may use this based on the psak of the Tzitz Eliezer. So you have to know that the Tzitz Eliezer went up against Rav Moshe Feinstein. So you got to just, know both sides of the argument before we can make a... Obviously, this is a very difficult shaila. Needs to be dealt with very carefully. There are a lot of emotions taken into consideration. But just from a strictly halachic standpoint, that's where it gets off the ground. So we're going to talk a little bit more today about that. Pashtus, the Torah doesn't really, in the literature, there's not much discussion about that case specifically. There is more discussion about a woman who was mizaneh and feels horrible for what she did. That's what the Achronim wrote about. Starting with the 1600s all the way till the 1900s, that there is literature about. I haven't come across too much. Rev Unterman has a tshuva where he talks about a woman that was raped by, I think, a Nazi, and she was carrying the baby and she wanted an abortion, so he talks about that. But the other literature that we have, most of them talk more about women that have regret, and the last thing they want to do is carry full-term a baby that was sin, what was, they feel guilty about and things like that. Today, most of the shiles that we have with abortion are basically shiles where the baby is either going to live a very uncomfortable life or won't live too long of a life. As Rabbi Dr. Steinberg pointed out, most of the cases of sakara to the mother is not so relevant, but believe that tonight we will talk about women that have cancer. Cancer is a big shiloh. We'll talk about that shiloh. That's still a rampant shiloh. If a lady finds out she has cancer with chemo and the cancer spreading, what do you do with the fetus? But so the Tzitz Eliezer took this taisvus and ran with it. Tzitz Eliezer says, "Hein omnim de b'hagos meharib Yaakov emden al shas nirgish medevi ataisv v'gosin shadvarim edem udiyokim." I agree, says the Tzitz Eliezer. I'm aware of Rabbi Yaakov emden's comment that taisvus seems to be hard to read. And then he says, I saw it even in the Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis, that also says like this, "Avol afin is daiti lo yitochem, because there's litchas ha-mashmois ha-pshuta b'divrei ha-taisvus." Says Tzitz Eliezer, that doesn't rile me up. A taisvus is a taisvus. If taisvus in nida says it's mutter to perform an abortion, it's mutter to perform an abortion. He says it's not my chiddush, it's the Maariv Tzchiya says it. That Taisus and Nida says like it's okay. And he brings this in other places. So therefore says it to Eliezer, this is already a starting point for a discussion that perhaps abortion is not as usher as you think it is. Okay. That's the Tzitz Eliezer starting point, is this Taisus and Nida. Right, so he's like saying like what you say about a bug, Lahavdil. Right? No one said it's also to kill a bug. Kill a bug, right? So he's saying kill the fetus. You're allowed to kill the fetus. So Taisa has a very strong question. If you're allowed to kill the fetus, so why are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save the fetus? And that's a big question. The Ramban writes in his Sefer that we are Mechal Shabbos to save a fetus. The question is why? Why should you be Mechal Shabbos to kill something that we don't really care about its life? That's a big question.
But he's describing non-life to this.
That's right, right? We're saying we don't view it as anything. It's mamish just a sack. Has no halachic status. Comes along with Moshe Feinstein and his tshuva, and he says, no, calm down. Says Rav Moshe two very important chedushim, just as an intro to Rav Moshe Shita. Rav Moshe is an Igris Moshe Choshe Mishpat Chelik Beis Semes HaMetech. It's a very lengthy tshuva. I took only snippets from it, but it's kedai, to read through it, a lot of interesting, fascinating. Then he has subsequent tshuvas. After that, he has an ayin, an ayin aleph, a bunch of other tshuvas where he discusses abortion scattered out through Igris Moshe. Says Rav Moshe, Hine bedover harigas ube me'ima b'Yisrael mefurish b'teis Sanhedrin tivamaschal leka d'oser. So Dr. Moshe is on to talk about, there's a Taisus Sanhedrin which we read as source number one that clearly prohibits a Jew performing an abortion. Says Rav Moshe, "Bepashtus, beiser ritzicha." Says Rav Moshe, I would venture to say it's death, it's murder. Mishum deleka midam diyisrael shoyu lakamasa. Because of the principle established in the Gemara Sanhedrin, there's nothing that a guy can't do that we could do. The kokach pshitul huda also beiser ritzicha. So Dr. Moshe, it's so pasha to me that it's a ritzicha. Now again, you have to note, it's ritzicha without the oynish of ritzicha. But Rav Moshe Feinstein's shita was, abortion is murder. You're a murderer. So why don't you get the death penalty? Kasha. Okay, we spoke about that last week, you don't get the death penalty. But don't think for a second it's not murder. It's not hashchasa zera, it's murder. You're a murderer, Zok to Rav Moshe. So according to Rav Moshe, at least when a Jew or a guy does it, it's murder. This is much more in line with those pro-lifers. Pro-lifers say killing a fetus is murder. That's what Moshe Feinstein, Tzitz Eliezer might argue. So, which one? The Nida. Says Moshe, what do I do with Taisus and Nida? Says Taisus, two lines in, Tepashu Lubarashu Tasaifer. Says Moshe, you gotta do something. You gotta say it's a Tasaifer, Vetzarech Ligris Intim Slimer, De Potter, Aharge Bibetin. You have to change it, not Mutter, but Potter. Like Taisvus and Sanhedrin. Because if not, you have a steer in Taisvus. So if it's a Ramesh, you gotta make a Taz Sefer. Answers back to Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Feinstein, with all due respect, you can't just make up your own Taz Sefer in a Taisvus. If you found the manuscript, if you found the Ksav Yadav Rishon somewhere, no, fine, you can do that. But just because it fits your narrative, you can't do that. So this is where Ramesh and Tzitz Eliezer first argued on what do we do with Taisvus and Eden. Now again, because Rav Moshe goes with the first Taisus Sanhedrin. Taisus Sanhedrin says abortions are usher. So if abortions are usher, he's not going to be serious himself a Taisus and Nida. Now, Tzitz Eliezer works out those two Taisus. Again, there's endless amount of material that Tzitz Eliezer wrote about this. I only again try to, if you notice, the last two shurim have been 5 pages. That's like beyond the limit of how much we're allowed to have over here. Because there's just so much material, and we're really trying to cram it in. So this is, again, point of a machloek to Rav Moshe, Tzitz Eliezer is, do we have the right to say that there's a printing mistake in a Taisus in Nida? Again, the newer Gemaras, the Oiz V'Hadr, they have a little, if you notice over there, where it says, the Mutal Harga, there's a little Chaf. So the little Chaf tells you to look in Rabbi Yaakov Emden, where Rabbi Yaakov Emden doesn't have a new Girsa. It's not like Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, I found another Girsa. He just points out the Girsa that we have, it can't be. Says it could be. Says Rav Meisher, no, it can't be. That's the machloikis, is how to read a Tosfos in Nida. So where does that leave us now? We have a Tosfos in Sanhedrin that says it's Aser, a Tosfos in Nida, which is up for debate. So the Nishmas Avraham, which is a terrific sefer that really does a great job of being malak at these types of topics, so he quotes over here number 6. He goes through, he does a likut of the Mefarshim. He writes the following. Roiv people hold that it's an Isser min HaTorah. Okay? That was the opinion of Reb Shlomo Zalman. That's an Isser deraisa. Why? Because since a Ben Noach can't do it, so Reb Shlomo Zalman assumed, like Rav Moshe, that if a guy can't do it, we can't do it, and that's on a level of a deraisa. Now, no, he writes it now exactly. How did Reb Shlomo Zalman understand the Isser? He says, you know why abortion is Isser? Because you're not allowed to steal money of a fetus, you're not allowed to steal the fetus from the fetus. Reb Shlomo Zalman's outlook on fetus was, we look at the fetus as if it's something, and that's already brought down in Gemara. The fetus has chusim. You're allowed to be mezakel uber. If you have, a lady has a baby in her stomach, and someone wants to give the baby a present, so you can be mezakel uber. You can give the baby a piece of real estate. The baby now owns a piece of real estate. So Zakta Shlomo Zalman, if the baby has bilis, so its bilis is itself. So if you take away itself, then you can't do that. That was Reb Shlomo Zalman's outlook to why it's usher, and that was the opinion of Reb Neuwirth as well. You can be mezakel the cotton. You can give something a schus for the cotton lichshin yagdil. So he also, right? But means it's not that, you know, you can't say to the chair, I'm going to mezakel you something. The Uber at least has enough bilis. However, he quotes in number 7, another round up. Ladas roiv ha'poiskam isa ba'pos uber hu min ha'teira. Roiv poiskam hold that killing an uber is an isa deraisa for a Jew. Who are they? The Chikrei Leiv proves it from Tosfos in Sanhedrin, the Teres Chesed, the Maram Shik, the Rogachava, Reb Chaim Moizer, the Arsameach, the Beis Yitzchak Reb Shmelkis, Reb Steichemed, Reb Avad Yosef, and Reb Moshe Feinstein. So to say that Tzitz Eliezer is the minority opinion is he's definitely the minority opinion. Everyone and their uncle Kemat holds that killing a fetus is an innocent derice. So you'll ask me, what difference does it make? The difference is there anything to put it up against? Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, there's a sefer called Mechitzas Rabbeinu, where they talk about different things about Yaakov Kamenetsky's life. And Yaakov Kamenetsky was addressing once in the year Tov Shin Lamed Aleph, 1971, in the Shabbat Shuvah, the Stiber Harbi Me'inyan Hapolas Vertzichas Uber. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was addressing the Torah outlook on abortion in 1971. He writes, Mikivan Shadis Yasto Mishrad Miuchad Lezeb Munsi. Because in those years they were opening an abortion clinic in Munsi, and Rabbi Yaakov weighed in on what this means for Jews. For Amash Avkaidim Soif Aboim Yom Shal Ibur, even before 40 days, Shobuhu Rak Kemayim Baalim. Even though the Gemara has a line that before 40 days the baby is just like water, to which many Paiskim will see in the second hold, that's why doing an abortion within 40 days is much less complicated. Says Rabbi Yaakov, Mikom Akam Asal Apiloi. Rabbi Yaakov said, no, you can't even abort within 40 days. Something we spoke a lot about Sunday morning. Says the Ramban, do you know why you're allowed to be mechal the Shabbos to save an Uber? That's the Ramban Shita. It's because it's an investment. If you save this Uber, he'll live a long life. Says Reb Yaakov. So how can you kill it? What are you going to kill it? It's only 40 days. If you let it live another 8 months and change, it will be a baby that can keep Shabbos and be it. So Reb Yaakov was against abortions even within 40 days, to which other Achorinim were making. So Reb Yaakov was clearly not a pro-abortion. So let's talk first, before we get into the heavy, heavy shailas about abortion, let's talk about some of the more lighter shailas. Let's say, for example, Nebuch, a girl, is raped, and today we have an invention called the morning after pill. Not only for rape cases, but it could be for people...
Nebuch had solid cases.
Really?
A young girl, she was 12 or 13.
She was raped.
A couple of from pediatricians took care of her.
Yeah. Yeah, I gave this share in my neighborhood in Queens, and a pediatrician came over to me and told me he was involved in a case. It wasn't rape. It was two from kids. A 17-year-old girl was doing things she shouldn't be doing, and she got pregnant. What are you going to do now? Rosh Hashachta talks about a case where a couple that was engaged, Chas and Kyle, were slated to get married, and they were doing things they shouldn't do, and then she also got pregnant. So what do you do now? So let's talk about the case of, we'll go with rape, and then we'll work our way through. So Nishmas Avraham talks about the case of, what about the morning after pill? What's the halachic status of the morning after pill? So he writes at number 9.
With that pill, we don't even know for sure. I mean, it's you're talking.
Right.
You give it to her. So you don't even know if she's being pregnant.
You don't even know for sure. Right. There's at least a fear. Today, people run for blood tests. I was talking to a doctor who works in from community. He told me he has these women running all the time. They want to get blood work. Either they're so excited that they hope they're pregnant, or they're so nervous that they might be pregnant, you know, depending on how old you are and your place in life. So the younger, newly married girls are hoping they're pregnant, while people that have more complicated lives are saying, I'm hoping I'm not pregnant. But today you do a blood test, and within a few hours, you'll know for sure. So if you go to the, you know, you go to the pharmacy, you take the test, you know, it's hit or miss. It's pretty good, but the lab work, the blood work is the best. So let's say someone does really quick blood work, and they find that, yes, they're pregnant, and it's mamish within a day. So Nishmas Avram discusses, what about taking a pill? You can prevent pregnancy after Tashmish. You have up to 72 hours after Tashmish to ensure that the sperm does not get stuck where it's supposed to get stuck, and you can prevent pregnancies from happening. Says the Nishmas Avram, if it would be an oinus, a rape case, he would permit it. Only for rape. Because what Isra are you doing? There's nothing there. Nothing formed yet. What would you exactly be murdering? Nothing was formed, nothing is here. The only Isra would be the Chavas Yar's issue. That it's Zera. There's no Zera. It's Zera. That's all you have. You have no baby. You're preventing everything from going where it's supposed to go. And the Mishamaz Amr agreed with me as well.
In this case, he bonus.
Right, so here's where I speculate and wonder, why only oinus? Let's say it's not only oinus. Let's say it was a mistake that was made. Two teenage boys and girls did things they shouldn't be doing, or even a chasen akala, or someone that perhaps pregnancy is not a good idea now. You know, again, we don't know the genetics yet of the baby. We can't be talking about a case of a Tay-Sax, or just a mistake that shouldn't happen. I wonder if you can also apply the same heter, because, you know, there's nothing yet here.
Not to be cute, on
a that's true. That's depending on... Right? Normally we would assume that. Maybe that's why they're talking about it. So it sounds like that would be a viable option.
Are we makel? Because at that point, unless you do a blood, we don't even know.
No, it sounds like we're makel because there's nothing here. You didn't kill anything. It's not even a fetus. Now, what would Rabbi Yaakov say to this? I don't know. We just read from Rabbi Yaakov that he held with even within 40 days. Now, it could be before. Could be Rabbi Yaakov's talking about once it's already, you know, the sperm and the egg already met. We're talking about before then. You're going to prevent them from coming together. What's that considered? That's a step before abortion. Right, so it might even be mutter. So it's interesting, there's a Mishnah Brura in Hilchas Erev Yom Kippurim. We've spoken about this in the past, that we know that the two times a year people go to the mikvah is Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippur. What's brought down in Rishonim, and maybe even Ga'onim, is that women used to go to the mikvah and still do in many communities on Erev Yom Kippur. Not so much Erev Rosh Hashanah, but on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah Brura quotes a Magen Avram, who writes like this in number 10. If a lady had tashmish within 3 days of going to the mikvah, so it's before Yom Kippur, she should rinse out her insides with warm water before she goes to the mikvah. Because what are we afraid of? We know within 3 days the sperm sits in her, it can come in, it can come out. If the zera comes out, it's pilot that makes her tummy. So what you should do is you should rinse out with warm water, get all the zera out. The taxlet was carried. Unless she's near her tefillah, or she's around the time when she might get her period. No, you can't do that to the sperm that's in her. Why? That's good sperm that could have gone used to impregnate someone, and you're wasting it. Kveger thinks you can ever because of this Rashchas Hazera. So this is mamish the same shayla of doing what we're doing. It sounds like it would be a shayla of whether or not you're allowed to be an Israel Hashchas Hazera. It's not so poshut that you can do that. So Teretz is Letzarich, it'll be mutter. But just to rinse out the Zera, to ensure that the Zera doesn't mix with the egg, the Chayra would present the halachic issue. But Maisa, the Nishmas Avram permits it. The Nishmas Avram permits it, at least in the case of a Tzarech. If you look at number 11 in the left corner from Chaim Moizer, Chaim Moizer writes, the lefnei mem yom lekli tasei, 40 days before it gathers, to have a kemaya ba'amol la'ikri nefesh. Against Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov thought that even an abortion within 40 days is awesome. Chaim Moizer thought not like that. He thought within 40 days it's more mutter. Now, there's no Gemara anywhere in Shas that says that because it's Mayim Balma, you can abort it. The Gemara says because it's Mayim Balma, that's why there's no Tumas Leda and all these other Tumas that have. Never does the Gemara say because it's within 40 days, you can abort it. We're borrowing that term.
So, it doesn't have a Tumas
mix. That's correct, right. So says Reb Chaim Moizer, Venir de Ben Noyach in an Eregal Zeh. Says Reb Chaim Moizer, interesting halacha, if a guy would abort a baby within 40 days, he would not get Misa. Therefore, says Chaim Moizer, "V'gam b'Yisrael efsher te'edus minatayr." It would not be nisa derais of abortion. Again, Chaim Moizer holds a Jew performing an abortion is nisa derais. Says Chaim Moizer, but not within 40 days. Now that again, that makes a huge cool for us. If it's not a nisa derais, we can start saying, "Well, if she was raped, if it was this, if it was that, it's not so negay." Because very rarely do people find out about pregnancy more than within 40 days. Very rarely would you know that. Again, today with blood work, you could find that out. Reb Gedalia Felder has an interesting shaila where he talks about a shaila that is, I think, relevant. I heard once a shaykh from Rabbi Leibowitz, he mentioned he never had a shaykh like this, one of the members in his shul, where a woman is pregnant, and they find that she has cancer. So now we have a problem, because A, we don't want the cancer spreading, or we want to start chemo. The baby being there is a terrible, terrible shidduch to do chemo. I was speaking to a pediatrician about this. The impact of chemo on the baby has long-lasting impacts, can really ruin the fetus. Reb Gedalia Felder talks about it in a slightly different way. He writes in number 11, Ish'alti b'kesh al isha muberes she'choyle b'machla sirton hari'iyah. Anyone know what that is?
Ooh.
I didn't either know.
Canada?
That's why I have something called Google. It's an amazing concept. It's called lung cancer. Lung cancer. Sirton hari'iyah is lung cancer. Hariyah is sirtan is cancer, Hariyah is the lung. So Nebuch, the woman had lung cancer. If you do not get rid of this baby, it will cause it to spread. The yimar misas, and you'll die quicker. It will cause the cancer to spread quicker. I'm not really sure why there's a connection from that, but again, I am definitely not a doctor, so you have to discuss that with the medical professionals. But there's some reason that there's a connection with the baby being there and the spread of the cancer, which means the longer the baby's there, this cancer will spread faster. Quicker spreading cancer equals she will nabuch die earlier. For Isha, Zoyis Yeshla, Arba Yalod, Mishi Baruch Shem already has 4 healthy children. Ubechein Ma'adin Bekesh Ali Pales Avat Seyas, Reb Gedalia Felder, Chosh Verov in Toronto, has already passed. Can you perform an abortion in such a case? Now again, the baby is not a direct threat to the mother. That we learned already last week. Mishnah Oilus. If the baby is a roidif, kill. The baby's not a roidif. The baby's an indirect roidif. Because the cause of the baby, it's going to lead the cancer to spread. The cancer to spread will cause the cancer to go faster. That's not a roidif. That's an indirect roidif. Or the similar case of the chemo case. Because of the baby, you can't do chemo. Okay. But the baby's not killing the mother. Then the lack of chemo is killing the mother. And you can't do chemo because the baby would be affected. That's the shaila presented by Reb Gedalia Felder. So that's the question. The question is, you have to say, whose life is more valuable? But again, if you hold that killing an Uber is an issa deraisa, so you can't pick. There's no such starting point.
Even though they're both issa deraisa, the fact that one's alive and one, you never know what'll happen. It's like shalom baloyim.
So says Reb Gedalia Felder, he makes one line which I was so happy that I haven't seen anyone make this comment, and it bothered me. I was so happy that Reb Gedalia Felder writes it. He says, first of all, before you even talk about abortion, you have to get consent from the father. Says it without felt in the next line. You need consent from the husband. Why? Because that's his property. We developed this last week a lot, and we mentioned that doesn't work into the political arena for some reason, but from the Torah it should. Parshas Mishpatim says first this way, Gemara Baba Kama. That's the husband's property. You can't kill his property without his consent. So it says with Eichfelder, and obviously we're assuming that this couple is a healthy couple, and the husband wants to do whatever is best for his wife. But for Nebuch, in a case where there's shalom bayis problems, or the husband, let's say for example, we're going to talk about what the literature talks about, a woman who's mizana, and she wants to abort the baby. I can hear the husband saying, no, you carry that baby. It's my property. You were mizana, that's your problem. We'll talk about it. But he's the first one I noticed.
That is actually his property.
Oh, that's true. It's not his property. But the boil container, it's the boils.
Yeah.
Belongs to the boil. The boil said,
you have no
boil.
The
boil would have the right to fight the abortion. That's correct. The boil would be allowed
to
fight.
No problem. He doesn't have bilis over the woman.
He has bilis over that fetus. She cannot abort
even
that
though,
100%.
Even though it's created through
yes.
An relationship.
The Gemara's Taisva says that in Baba Kama, even if it's done by Isser.
Yeah. That different in the rape case?
It wouldn't be different in the rape case.
No, I'm saying you don't just rape
the opposite. From a halachic standpoint, you should. I know it doesn't sound politically correct. I'm saying, from a halachic standpoint, it doesn't sound very correct, but the Gemara says not like that. The Gemara says it's his property. He would get the Dmei Volodas if... Right, you'd have to pay for him, right? It shouldn't... I don't know. If he's not Jewish, maybe he doesn't get the Dmei Volodas. I'm not sure. I don't know if the Gemara differentiates between even being Jewish and not being Jewish. But L'chayr, it says it because I felt you got to get his consent. It's his property. And then he writes the following psak. He says, "V'hine benidan didon do aisha hi becheska sakana." Again, the woman is a sakana. V'hamacha mispashetes v'imeheroina oyd hechadoshim. The cancer is spreading. She's got another 5 months left to go. Ubecheska sakana she Thomas, and she's sakana, she's going to die. Vayde hapol yuchel natzil azman man, we can save her by aborting the baby. Ikal emema da havlad eno ime lechayis. We don't know what the baby's outlook is going to be, if he's going to make it. Sharei kishi Thomas bevad the yomas havlad says Rabbi Gedalia Feld. Well, if she dies, so will the baby. Now, on the footnote in they say 1 second. Why is that true? Exactly. See, that's not true. Everything depends on the medical situation. But this assumption of Gedalia Felder today might not be so. If mother dies, the baby dies. That's not necessarily
is this
true. It's really like chazakas and playing.
Because the baby, you don't know what it'll be.
That's what he's arguing. But again, this argument is highly debatable today. I saw later Achrayim to point this out that this is not necessarily so true. It depends what's going on. Exactly. Right? They can save the baby, they can't save the mother. This is, medicine has changed a little bit, but okay. Then he says over here, that's the Shiloh. Here's the argument. What happens if mom's going to die either way? Mom's dying. She has deadly cancer. But if you take the fetus out, she'll live an extra 2 months. That's a loaded question. Mom's going to die. You kill the fetus, baby will never make it to the world. You don't kill the fetus, mom dies 2 months earlier. Who wants to pass on that child? Says Gedalia Feld, the baby still gets killed. Because mom's life is already here. Mom is a living person. Chayashoy. We learned about this Sunday morning. You got to give everyone who's alive every minute on life counts. This is only a fetus. That's correct. That's correct. 100%. So therefore, he concludes, Allah lamaisa, that's what you should do. In the Sefer Torah Yeleda, I'm sorry, one more piece from him. Number 12. He says, first of all, you got to first find out how good the doctors are. That's a hakdama. Make sure the doctors are the experts. Doctors today don't always take halacha so sensitive because they're not Jewish or they're not religious. So to them, they go by more medical and they go, well, it's the safer bed. It's obviously a lot easier to kill a fetus than it is to have to deal with a woman who's dying. So they right away come to certain conclusions. You got to always make sure that this is taka, the only option. Again, we trust doctors. We can't live our whole life downing doctors. It's not healthy. The Chassam Sofer says you're not supposed to do it. We got to trust the doctors. Obviously, you got to go to the best and you have to make sure they are as sensitive as they possibly can. And then he writes at the end, he says, and find a Jew to do the abortion. Don't take a non-Jew. Because a non-Jew is a big shiloh. So says it with Eifeld, if you're going to have to perform this abortion, try to find a Jewish doctor, much better than a non-Jewish doctor.
But it's not because
he's saying it's a justifiable abortion, but not enough for a guy to be justified. Even though, again, according to B'chaim Moizer, within 40 days, a guy is not a Yivir. Maybe the Rabbanan. But that was the psak for Gedalia Feld. Fascinating psak. Would be Lefneiv. Yeah, to a guy, yeah. You would not be allowed to ask a guy to perform an abortion. So even a Shaila, I didn't get into this. What happens if, let's say the non-Jew is not the doctor. He's the...
No.
He's the one who's going to give the medication to put her under. He's the anesthesiologist. Thank you. Is a non-Jew allowed to be the anesthesiologist? You can't have a procedure without an anesthesiologist.
He's a messiah.
Can he? Mamash Tachrim talk about all these shaylas. Mamash, very complicated shaylas. For the non-Jew, how involved can he be? So if a person, Nebuch, is going to have to go through an abortion, which might be halachically allowed, depending on the situation, they really should try to, again, if the options are non-Jewish doctor is better than the Jewish doctor, then you go with the non-Jew. Because you got to go with what's better. But if everything is the best, and we like to say Jews are the best doctors, we always make the best doctors, best lawyers, so then you should go for the Jew. It's a better option to go with the Jew.
What is the reason, again, I know I came late, but why you should get a Jewish doctor?
Because a guy who performs an abortion is chayiv misa, it's one of the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai
Noach. And why not a Yid?
Because the Torah only wrote it by a guy. That's why it's not usher.
I'm sorry.
So let's see one more shtickle about this. In the Sefer Torah Yeledes, this is by Reb Zilberstein. Reb Zilberstein has a gevaldik sefer called Torah Yeledes. All the shailas about women, pregnant women, nursing women, all fascinating shailas. So he has a similar shaila. Number 13. Muberi sheposhta ba machla sirta, rachman letzlan. A woman, a pregnant woman that gets cancer. Nebuch, it happens. It's very sad. It's not curable. El she'efshala, listen to this. El she'efshala harach yomeha. It's not curable, but we can extend the life by time. By taking medication that will kill the baby. Ha'im mutar lekachas trufas. Can she take the medicine? Or shema ma'acher. Maybe you have to delay. Let people you let bury you. Let the baby be born.
Is trufas?
Trufas are medications.
Okay, not chemo.
No, trufas are medicine. Ve'im mutar lemuberes lahamshich b'haron ulamnoyim atipulim. Let's say mom says, I don't care. I'm going to run the risk. Let the cancer eat me up. But I'm going to see if I can deliver a healthy baby. These are loaded shilas. Like, you know, it's just as we write a tshuva about this within the same day.
Don't
yeah, I wouldn't want to have to deal with these. You know, the shilas like this, I said straight to Rav Asher Weiss. Don't put it on my shoulders, you know. This is not for us. So what did Zilberstein paskin? Mutter! The tapel b'choyla sirta the marosha uva yomus. You are allowed to take any medicine needed, i.e. chemo, to continue, and even though it will kill the baby. Unbelievable. Mom's going to die. Same shit like Magdal Yefeli. Mom is not going to be saved by the chemo, but she'll live a little longer. Still mutter. Again, I don't know what the pro, I don't know in the secular world where this stands. I'm not sure what the Gaim say to this. I don't know. But this is a Torah point. Both Magdal Yefeli and Zilberstein say the same thing. He writes in the bottom that his Shver Abliyashiv agreed with him also. It's mutter. And he explains why. Because the baby doesn't have its own life. It gets everything from mom. But you don't have to consider it. Again, you can't go out and kill it, but you don't have to worry. Let's say mom says, I want to, don't give me medicine. So there's another loaded shaila. Do you tell mom, no, that you're killing yourself? Says of Zilberstein, no, you're allowed to allow her to do that. She's allowed to do that. She'll let her roll the dice and see what happens. He writes in the bottom that one of the reasons why I think this mother is based on the Marit. Again, the Marit was one of the earliest poiskim. Marit was even earlier than the Chavisyon. Marit was the son of the Mabit. He was mamish the middle, early 1600s. He wrote a tshuva. The reason why I didn't put his tshuva down is because he has two steers in tshuvas. And Rav Moshe writes that one of the tshuvas are forged. So I didn't even bother putting it down. Okay, there's much to talk about the Marit. I started from after the Marit. So he says the Marit would hold if it would only be a grum. And let's say the lady takes a pill, and that pill will indirect. Again, no one's going in and killing the baby. Indirect. So he thinks that would also be mutter. So putting this all together, says Reb Zilberstein, as does Gedalia Felder, in such a case, it would be mutter.
They don't ask if the mother would otherwise. She's not old medicine to mace. But they can only save one of the two. So we always say that.
Yeah.
She's one of a bad eye.
That's right, that's right.
The other one could be saved as well, because she'd say, listen. Save my baby, I'll go.
So he talks about that in the Sefer, in the Torah Yeladas. He talks about these types of
shayles.
Yeah. He talks about these types of shayles. He talks about wild shayles. Let's say a lady was told by the doctors, if you get pregnant and you bring the kid to pregnancy, you might die. And she didn't care. Can she do that? He talks about these shayles. It's fascinating stuff. Hey, Nishmas Avrom, they talk about these wild, wild shayles. I guess it shows the godliness of the women, but from another standpoint, we'd say, what are you doing? The doctor said, don't do it. It's not a good idea. Okay, this is what's for sure mutter. So we spoke so far about either taking, we'll call it the morning after pill, or perhaps doing an abortion in a case where it's a direct or indirect threat to the mother's life, or at least length of the life. Now, when did the shaila of abortion really hit the pages of the Acharonim? The answer is about the mid-1600s. And they all talked about the same shaila. They all talked about a case of a woman who was mezanin. Eish is ish shezinsa. The Chavis Yoy lived in the 1600s. He talks about the shaila. A lady was mezana and she got pregnant and she feels horrible. And she's ois mensch, she's so torn, she just wants to get rid of this baby, she wants to move on, she wants to do tshuva. Can she abort this baby because she feels horrible, terrible about what she did? That's the shaila presented to the Chavis Yoy. The Chavis Yoy writes in number 14, I meant to write the way he presents the shaila, but this lady, she's so heartbroken and she bangs her head against the wall every day, she's so sad, she doesn't know what to do. It's a, you know, to think that there was misbehaving in Klai Yisrael only now is not true. In the 1600s, women were doing things they shouldn't be doing also. The reason we spoke about this in the Chumash, the idea of a Parsha Soita, is not that it wasn't because it happened once, it's because it's something that can and sadly enough does occur. So the Chavis Yoy's response to the Shaila was, can you abort a baby just because mom is so ois mensch, because she was mezane? The answer is no. He writes, Mikomokim, Av she'onu madimun loy nasa maisa lahatalisha, I can't matter it. I can't. He says, I can't be involved in that. I can't sign off on that. That I will not sign off on. However, if you look at number 13b, and this is the importance of realizing when the tshuva was written in history and where we live today. The Nishmas Avram presents the following shayla. We keep on talking about abortion when mother's life's in danger. What happens if mother's life is not in danger, but mother's psychiatric status or psychological status is in danger? Says the Nishmas Avraham, he calls him Lavush Mordechai, Mater Hapola b'mokim shalodasa roifim titrev daitei machmas aleda. If pregnancy will make her go crazy, she'll go insane, then tiruf hadas is included in sakanas nefashas. Rabbi Dr. Avram Steinberg says that although Reb Shlomo Zalman believed abortion is asur, he said when he had abortion shilas, he sent to Reb Shlomo Zalman, and Reb Shlomo Zalman asked to meet with all of the mothers, and he spoke with them. And if he felt that they were not up to the psychological level of being a mother, he would permit abortion. And Reb Shlomo Zalman was an anti-aborter. He did not believe in it. He was not like the Tzitz Eliezer. He disagreed. But if he felt that the psychological whereabouts of the mother was not up to par, he permitted such an abortion. However, says Rabbi Dr. Steinberg, one time he called Reb Shlomo Zalman with a woman, and Reb Shlomo Zalman said, send her to someone else. He said, Rebbe, you've been taking all my abortion cases. He said, I'm getting older, and I'm no longer in tune to the women of this generation. I can't get into their mind. I don't know what's normal. If it's just a clear-cut shayla and shulchan aruch, no, I know shulchan aruch. But this is not time. You got to get into the mind of a woman. You got to know, is she mentally stable? I don't know the women anymore. Now again, it's interesting. In all the tshuvas, none of them discussed the woman's mental status. So clearly in the 1600s, they didn't take that into consideration. With different times today. Today, women can't handle the same types of mental status as of back then. So he writes in Ishmael Avram that he's a stickle nervous because he says he spoke to a menahel michalaka psychiatrist. He said he spoke to the head of a psychological ward, Loidati. She'ein hu klam emelot al apola b'isha kazois ki efshel etabe ba bekadurim lemnaya birub ma'agod l'satoikiv shaldakon v'tiyuv das achrei leida. There's medication for that also. Now again, medicine doesn't cure everything. It doesn't work for everyone. But he tainas, a lot of it can be cured by medicine. V'chein omeli roif a psychiatr b'kir echad. A doctor told me this, a psychologist, psychiatrist. L'fiza l'chayr ein hetel batza apala b'isha kazois. So then the heter no longer applies. So again, hakol l'fi ha'inyan. At some point, the Shlomo Zalman was using that as a heter. So you just have to know, how much has the times have changed? Where are we holding today that women are not psychologically stable? Or they are psychologically stable, but that seems to be a reliable heter as well. Okay, we ran out of time. So I guess we'll have to make it a part three. Part three of abortion, we'll get into the shayla of when the poskim gave some wiggle room and how we can then apply that perhaps to the shayla of the tesaks or other types of shaylas in Klal Yisrael.